Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We do thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as God's word is taught. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. If you are there, say I'm there. Okay, so you're not there. Matthew 28, verse 18. Okay, so we are really there. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the what? The end of the earth. Now, so Jesus comes and says unto them, now it's important to note that what Jesus did wasn't a 2 seconds conversation. Now, what Jesus did wasn't a 10 seconds conversation. What Jesus did, it was not a 1 hour conversation. It was an extensive teaching that was done that Matthew summarizes in 3 verses. Now, how do we know that? Look at Acts chapter 1. Run quickly to Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. He says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, until the day in which he was taken up after through the Holy Ghost, he had commanded unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his what? Passion by many what? Infallible proofs being seen. Now, so infallible proofs. Now, you know, English, grammatically speaking, when you say infallible proofs, what would that really mean? Proofs that you can't doubt, right? On proofs that you can't doubt. And the easiest proofs you can't doubt is, or you can't fault, right? Proofs you can't fault. And the easiest proofs you can't fault are things you see with your eyes, right? So it's easy to assume that what Jesus did in Acts chapter 1, verse 3 is to show them his physical scars on his body. Are we together? So it's easy to assume that. But you see that he says, Lord, by his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for how many days? 40 days speaking. So the speaking is what brings the revelation or what points your attention to the infallible proofs. Are we together? So he was teaching, and in the teaching was where he submitted his infallible proofs to their minds to be renewed. Are we together? How do you know that? So you're in Matthew 28, right? We're in Acts 1. Now go to Luke 24. That's why you have so many fingers, right? Okay. So look at Luke 24. Luke 24. But we're really in Matthew 28, so to say. So look at Luke 24, then 25. Look at 24. Luke 24, 24. He says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have what? Spoken. And ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory. Right, let's read 27 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Now, he's expounding unto them. Is that a show of infallible proofs? You get that, right? So, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself from the scriptures. So, it means that when you see Jesus expounding from the scriptures, he's supplying infallible proofs to the heart of the men listening to him. Are we together? What are infallible proofs again? Proofs that cannot be doubted, that cannot be faulted. You cannot fault it. So, where did Jesus supply infallible proofs from? He did it strictly from scriptures. Right? So where did he begin from? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. So beginning at Moses will mean beginning at the what? The writings of who? Moses. Then what? The writings of who? The prophets. Then all. So if you look at the 20:44. Right? And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. Now, what did he say before he said unto them? Look at 20:42. And they gave him a piece of broad fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them and said, now, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with what? You. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of who? Moses, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So where did Jesus supply infallible proofs from? From the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. What we call what? The Holy Scriptures. Are we here? So go back to Acts 1. So Acts 1 now tells you that to whom he showed himself after his passion, himself alive, right? So he proved his being alive by infallible proofs. Did you get that? Yeah, he is supplied infallible proofs to ascertain his being alive. Now, it's easier to ascertain your being alive by saying, look at me. But Jesus went a step further to ascertain his being alive by saying, look at the scriptures. Are we together? Now, he did it for 40 days. Why do you think he did it for 40 days? You know, so the consistency in that is an example for the saint to follow. Right? You see, when Jesus teaches for 40 days, he knows what he's... See, let me ask you a question. Do you think that God knows how to simplify the most complex thing? Yeah? Do you think that God knows how to simplify the most complex... Now, think about it this way. Your Christian faith, if you sat under Jesus, do you think he will explain scripture better than me? Say yes or I'll be loud. Don't dish. Don't put me in that trouble. Say yes, I'm allowed. Yeah? If you sat under Jesus and Jesus explained scriptures to you, will he explain it better than me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he will. Right? So if Jesus, who will explain scriptures far better than me, will teach consistently for 40 days, it means there's an instruction we should get from there. Are we together? You know, while we're in school, there are some teachers we have that maybe... There are some courses we have that we have two teachers. I don't know if we've went to schools like that, you know, but if we went to some schools... No, you know, there are some schools, one teacher is teaching five subjects. Meanwhile, some schools, one subject has five teachers. So there are differences of schools, differences of gifts, diversities of... Yes, but it's the same what? Education. You are there, right? It's the same education. Praise Jesus. Right? You are learning, you're graduating, you have the same certificate. Apply for the same job. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you have some courses where you have more than a teacher teaching a topic. And you'll be like, how come this guy explains this better than this guy? That other guy will not come and tell you that this is what I've been saying since. Are we here? I wonder if you are witnesses here. Yeah. So for instance, in primary school, there was a teacher called... I'd liked or loved mathematics for my maybe primary 2, primary 3 thereabout, but I fell in love with mathematics from primary 5, then primary 6. Why did I? Because I had two intelligent, beautiful, well-spoken teachers who could communicate the mathematical concept easily. Now, their name is Mr. Ude. I can never forget Mr. Ude, but he flogs very well. Very fair man, has a little bow leg, flogs. I don't know if you'll see this video or hear this teaching someday. You know, Mr. Ude and Mr. Fred. Mr. Fred is Ghanaian, right? And that made me love mathematics more. Right? In fact, those were the people that made me understand that mathematics is the simplest subject. Do you agree with that?
Glory!
Glory! Yeah? They made me see how mathematics is, and truly, really, truly, it is the same. Do you know why? Because 2 plus 3, if you integrate it, it is the answer. So it is for you to know it. Somebody will give you an exact question. You say, what's the adjective of this? You'll be cracking your head. What is the synonym of this? English language has several synonyms. How do you know the one your teacher wants you to write? You see, it's complex. You see, it's complex. Are we together? Is English language, they will say you should read the story of a boy that is going to school. Comprehension. Then summarizing in 3 lines. Is that not hard? What do mathematics expect you from that story? Copy and paste that story you just read. Are we together? Yeah, so they helped me to see that in that way, and it helped me through life. Now, if Jesus could have taught for 40 days, having, and you know in your heart, he must have been a rabbi. In fact, he's rabbi. In fact, Jesus is the chief rabbi in whom we give expression to in us. Are we together? So if Jesus taught for 40 days, who am I? Who are you? It means that there are certain things about the Christian faith that requires time. That's important to take note of. There are certain things about the Christian faith that requires time. Now, you see Jesus telling you in Luke 24:44, he says, the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you are the words which I speak unto you now, that the prophet or the words of the prophet might be fulfilled. So, the same thing Jesus said after resurrection for 40 days, were the same things he was saying before the crucifixion. Yet, you see, you would have thought, right? You would have thought that Jesus is teaching before the crucifixion. And as soon as he dies and he resurrects, they just click. Are we here? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If Jesus is telling you that what I have been teaching or what I have been saying, they are the things that I have been saying before the crucifixion. It's expected that... So imagine I'm a teacher, for instance. I'm teaching you about a man. And I'm teaching you about the man consistently for years. The man has white beards. He has this. When this door, when you hear crrr and this door opens, what happens? This is the man that I've been talking about. Are we together? Ideally, that should be infallible proofs of the man I've been talking about. But imagine I'm talking about a man. Are we here? I'm talking about a man, every small thing I say, the man. The man now comes in, I have to take 40 days to teach you about the man. And after teaching you about the man, you still ask me, is that the man? You see that? After teaching you for years about a man, the man comes in, I use 40 days to teach you about the same man that you are seeing, you know. After you say, man of God, you are well anointed, you are a great shepherd, shepherd over the sheep. You were once a sheep, now a shepherd. You know, but the shepherd that was a sheep. Is that the man? Look at it in Acts 1. Is that not it? Look at it in Acts 1. When therefore, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou again restore this time, restore again, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? What a question. Do you understand? What a question. He was teaching about a man, teaching about a kingdom. The kingdom now come or has come, and you see it in the resurrection. And he uses 40 days to teach. How do you know he used 40 days to teach? Okay, look at it. What question were they asking in reference to? Kingdom. What did Jesus teach about? Look at it in verse 3. He says, and speaking of those things pertaining the kingdom of God. So he spoke about the kingdom for 40 days back to back. Luke 24 now makes you see that actually he was speaking about the kingdom before his crucifixion. So ideally he should die, resurrect, and you see, oh, that's the kingdom of God. So you would have thought that, oh, thy will be done in there, thy kingdom come. Yeah, thy kingdom come. So it's something that is teaching towards. The kingdom now has come in the resurrection, and now, okay, see, this kingdom we are talking about, we understand kingdom. It's not kingdom, kingdom. Kingdom, you kingdomate and dominate, you know, you have a king and dominion, you know. But when will you restore again? Or will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? After 40 days teaching. Don't laugh at them. Think of yourself. Are we together? Think about yourself. So, go back to Matthew 28, where we really are. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. So he says, all power, right? That's what authority. Does that have to do with the kingdom? Yeah, does that have to do with kingdom? Yeah. Beautiful. So all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. So it means that heaven and earth will some way, somehow be God's kingdom. Are we here? How it is communicated is what you need to understand. When it says all power is given unto me, that is the word authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven. So it means that there's the authority he has that has to do with heaven and earth together. So I have the authority of heaven and earth. So remember, who is the first person to use? Is in the writings of Moses, you see heaven and earth first. Are we together? So all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Yet go into the world and what? Teach all nations. Now, the word they teach is the word that means to make people disciples. Yeah, to make people disciples. Are we together? To make people disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in that name. So we make people disciples in the name. Are we here? will make people disciples in that name. So that means we are saved by the name. Is that true? Then instructed in that name to go. Yeah? We've received salvation by the name, and we're instructed in that name by the one who has the authority to what? Go and make disciples. So it means that your Christian faith doesn't end at being saved. Are we here? Your Christian faith doesn't end at being saved. I'll say that one more time. Your Christian faith doesn't end at being saved. That means your Christian faith extends to being trained and being a student. Now, who is a disciple? A disciple is one who is given to learning, a learner, a student, a pupil. Altogether, a learner, one who is given to learning, who is given to study, yeah, who is given to learning. Now, is a disciple one who is given to service? Think about that well. Is a disciple one who is given to service? Is it one given to learning? Is it one given to studying? So if you are to be a disciple of a course, it means that the course determines what your discipleship entails. Did you get what I just said? I'll say that again. Yeah. So if you are to be a disciple so think about it. Imagine you had one very outstanding old man who is a lecturer of yours in school, and he was good in political science, for instance. Right? And he's your mentor. Right? You are his mentee. Can we say he's your discipler? Can we say he's your discipler? Can we say you're his disciple? Now, are there certain things that will be required from you as a disciple under a discipler? Who determines the walls in which you serve the disciple? So if Jesus says go into the world and make disciples, Jesus, the chief discipler, right, determines the confines in what we do. So it means that if our disciple says service is something that is important, discipleship is something that is important, what do? You take him seriously. Because he knows what he's saying. Are we here? So he says, go into the world and make disciples of every nation. Are we together? Now, how do you know what your discipleship assignment entails? Look at 20. Teaching them to what? Observe. Are we here? Yes. All things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you pertaining the kingdom of God. Is that true? Yes. Is that true? What did I do? I brought in Acts 1:3. Yeah? Acts 1:3. So, teaching them to observe, pay attention, deliberately pay attention, deliberately consider, or deliberately view. Right? So, I'm teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until what? The end. So, despite and in spite of the instruction to serve, despite and in spite of the instruction to be a disciple, there's an assurance of him being with you. So can somebody choose not to listen to the instruction? Can you have a mentor or a mentee and he chooses not to listen to your instruction? Can you also have a mentor and choose not to listen to his instruction? Whose choice is it? Disciple. Now, you know, nowadays, we have people who, you know, we're in a generation where people are fast to dementor and rementor. There are certain things you will get when you pay attention to discipleship and following. There are certain things that will just be a part and parcel of you. Are we together? So the truth remains that when it comes to discipleship, there's such a thing. Now, mentor can leave mentee. Think about yourself now. Some of you, you've had mentees before that you've left. You know now. There are people who have come to meet you and say, I want to follow you anywhere you go. But they've left you, you've left them. But in the instruction of Jesus, being asking people to be disciples, he gives an assurance. Lo, I am with you always. To the what? End of the world. What a great mentor we have. Are we together? So, in spite and despite, he teaches for 700 days and you don't understand. Lo, I'm with you. Are we together? Lo, I'm with you. So, if you are one, for instance, who, in spite and despite of everybody you are teaching, nobody is understanding or growing, what should be your template to the act of discipleship and being a disciple? Be dogged. Are we together? You see, the love of God is so dogged that despite and in spite your disobedience to his instruction, he is always there. How many of you God has left you because you disobeyed him? Let me not ask the second question, but I wanted to ask, how many of you have disobeyed God before? Right? You see, believers, nowadays believers don't even say, hey, have I? It is, that's normal now. How far now? I just say, even this morning, go. I disobeyed God this morning. Discipleship entails being a deliberate student, giving to the ministry of learning. Very important. Very important. Look at Luke 10. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Oh, glory to God. Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called what? Mary, which also sat at Jesus' what? Feet and heard his word. So what was the sitting at the feet? So what was the sitting at the feet about? Let me say it that way. What was the sitting at the feet about? To hear his words. Are we here? Now, are there people who sit at the feet and don't hear? Yes, sir. Can you sit at the man's feet and not hear what he's saying? Right? So what did Mary do in that instance? She sat at the feet and heard his word. Look at 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, right, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she what? Help me. Look at Jesus' answer in 41. Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about what? Many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What is the good part? Sitting at the feet to hear his words. That's what? Discipleship. Are we together? So, sitting at the feet can both be literal and figurative. Which is more important in our Christian faith? The figurative. Are we together? Yeah? What would the figurative entail? You are hearing the words of the Master. Praise God. So, it's possible to be around while the training is ongoing and not be around. Are we here? It's possible to be around and not be around, like some of us on the group chat. Yeah? MixLR. We are presently around, but actively not around. Are we together? Yeah? We have our minds already put out that we want to stop it. We have our minds already programmed to be not around. But everybody sees us as what? That's why a lot of times I come to church on Sunday, I'm trying to repeat, emphasize what I said on Wednesday, what I emphatically said on Wednesday, you know, and the faces I see are the people that thanked me. What a mystery. That's mysterious. The faces of confusion I see are the people that thanked me. That's a mystery, right? What's mystery? That's the Greek word mysterion. That which needs explanation. Because it actually needs explanation. Do you understand? Thank you for the word. You're such a great man of God. Such a great and mighty man in battle. You are. But I'm repeating the same thing I just said a few days ago you thanked me for. And there's so much confusion on the face. Oh, you're thanking me in advance of understanding. I thank you in advance. I know I'll get there, but thank you. I was together. So there is such a thing as sitting at the feet of the great master. Say, choose wisely. Say, choose wisely. Now, look at Acts 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 37. Look at 36. Or look at 35. Or look at 34. Or let's just see 33, okay? Or actually, go back to... Okay, look at 33. And with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and gave great and... What? Great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that what? That lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands, and Acts chapter 4, houses, sold them, and brought the prizes of the things that were sold. And what? Acts 4:35. And what? He laid them down at the apostles' feet. And what? Distribution was made unto every man according as he what? Had need. Now look at 37. Having land, he sold it, that is Joseph's, and he brought the money and laid it at the what? Apostles' feet. Now, can somebody lay literally some money at your feet? So, what does figurative laying at the feet mean? It means to bring under your submission. Right? To bring under your subjection. Your control, so to say. Right? Your dispensation, so to say. So, we see the act of laying down, sitting at the feet and laying at the feet. And we've come to understand that when it comes to the Christian faith, the most important will be what? The figurative of both sides. Are we here? Have you gone? Look at Paul, Acts 22. Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. And when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he what? Said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born of Tarsus, a city in what? Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of what? Gamaliel. So are they what? So was he always at the feet of Gamaliel when Gamaliel was walking? Gamaliel was just walking and Paul is just at the feet. And that's his defense today in Acts 22. Are we together? So was Paul sitting at the feet of Gamaliel? Yes. Was he at the feet of Gamaliel while Gamaliel was walking? I don't want to believe so. Are we together? So Paul sat under the feet of Gamaliel. Who is Gamaliel? Look at it. It says, and he taught according to the word, perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. What a man. Hallelujah. So we see Paul sat under discipleship. So it means that there was no apostle who didn't sit under discipleship. Are we here? There was no apostle who didn't sit under discipleship to serve. Now, see what the chief disciple says in Mark. Look at Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Resurrection. Okay, resolution. Yeah? New year, new me. Hallelujah. Yeah? One of the things you should leave last year is sleeping in church. Because we'll see our faces more now. Hallelujah. I look forward to Wednesday. Praise God. You're laughing. I look forward to Wednesday by the power of the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is what? Impossible, but not with God. For with God all what? Yeah, so all things are possible with God. Is he everything in there? Is there everything on earth that's possible with God? So you are saying God is not that powerful. With God, can you as well slap a soldier that's coming from war? Oh, what? What you cannot do? It cannot exist. What you cannot do, you cannot. He's like, look at me, I say, this guy. Are we together? Yeah, so when you see the Bible word all used, you need to qualify it in the context in which it's spoken about. So what is the narrative talking about? Look at it from verse 23. Yeah, and Jesus looked round about and said unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into what? The kingdom of God. Disciples said, we are astonished at his words, but Jesus said unto them, children, how hard it is for them to trust the riches that enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked upon them and said, with men, it is what? So what's the conversation of impossibility and possibility? Who then can be saved? Are we together? Are we together? You see, if you don't put a cap to these things, people, you know, there are robbers that pray in the name of Jesus while they go rob. You know, they come together and they bring their tithes afterwards. In fact, there are some members that go to a pastor to pray for them while they go rob people. Are we together? So when you say, with God all things are possible, you need to look at the context in which Jesus uses that phrase. Yeah. So what God cannot do doesn't exist is a phrase of the believer, so to say. You know, it's important to know that you are talking about, you know, we can give an excuse about the fact that you are talking about the miraculous, you know, large expectations, you know. But there are some outright things that are impossible, even with God. Are we together? Dangote's money cannot enter your account with both you, both the God, both the Holy Spirit and the Son. I was together. So there are so many things, and if you want to keep looking at it, you actually find that. But yes, you get the concept of the fact that, yeah, you believe God for the miraculous, anything is possible. But not anything is really possible. If all your savings in life is 1 million, all of a sudden, somebody is just praying with his God, and your money just left you. Won't you fight the bank? Won't you go there first thing Monday morning? How many of you have transactions you're waiting for bank to open? What Tuesday like this? All the old banks in Abuja will be full. I pay for buy power. They took my money. They didn't give me number. What am I supposed to do? All together. So think about all those basic things. So we don't take scriptures out of context. So the same thing with I can do all things, like I've explained over and over. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Yes, that's fine. God is your strength. Yeah. So if you go to the 10th floor of a building and jump, Christ is your strength. How's your strength? On the bed, you remember he's the healer. That supplies strength to your marrow. Praise God, he's the great healer. Yeah, you pay attention to those scriptures where he healed. Yeah. He's your strength. So when he says with God all things are possible, so he says with men it is impossible. The conversation is around what? Being saved. Being saved. Being saved. But with God. Are we together? So he just uses figures of speech to juxtapose his point about being saved. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. What a conversation switch. Are we here? And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left his house, his brethren, his sisters, his fathers, his mothers, his wife, mother, father, wife, not us. Yeah? Children, can you see, when it now gets to land, it puts S. So the word wife, does it have S? But children is plenty already, right? Children. Land, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, he shall receive 100-fold in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal what? Life. What is he really teaching about? Now, Peter tells you we've left all to follow. Did they really leave all? If the all includes brother, father, sister, mother, land, as mentioned in verse 28 or the next verse, yeah? Did Peter have a house? Did Peter end up taking Jesus to heal his mother-in-law? In John 21, after did Peter ask other disciples to follow him to go out fishing? They were out fishing. So what does it mean to leave all? It really means to put priority where priority belongs. You see, Jesus is not teaching an abandonment concept, but a priority concept. Are we here? So when he says you will have all of this, he's not saying that because you leave those things, all of a sudden, houses will just be flowing towards you. Are we together? All of a sudden, cars. So when Jesus says, when Peter says we've left all, they didn't really abandon all. In what? Priority. Are we together? So it means that as saints, we will need to, or as followers of Jesus, what now? See, you see, they left all with a particular purpose to what? To follow. Are we here? Are we here? But it doesn't mean they abandoned their parents. Yeah, because if Peter really left all, there should not have been a time where Jesus will have to pray for his mother-in-law. Are we here? Are we here? Look at Luke 9. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will what? Follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have what? Holes. Do foxes really have holes? Yes, they do, right? So foxes have holes without paying rent. Is that true? Birds of the air, they have what? Nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. But was he laying his head? Okay, so you get the point. Right? So, and he said unto another, follow me. But the other one said, Lord, allow me to first go bury my father. You know, one came and said, Lord, you know, I believe in you. I believe in your ministry. I believe in that great commission that God has given you. But please, let me just go what? Bury my father. What did Jesus say? Let's read verse 60 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So birds will have nests. Foxes will have holes. The man you are talking to actually put priority some other things above other things. What is he saying? It means that in following Jesus, you will sometimes need to lose your comfort. Are we here? Are we here? So in following Jesus, you are going to decide on your comfort. That means following Jesus will not always be comfortable. Are we together? Following Jesus will not always be comfortable. Are we here? So it means, so think about it this way. Yeah. Is God a compassionate person? Was Jesus full of compassion? At least if you don't believe anything, you should believe his compassion towards the sick. So he was a well compassionate man. Now, what does the world expect a compassionate man to say to a man who wants to go bury his father? Contribution. Abby? Pastor, you know, church, let's contribute and cook rice. Now, is there anything in contributing? No. One would have thought that God's compassion, yeah? Pastor, you've read Lamentations chapter 3:22 very times. The compassion of the Lord faileth not. That compassion that doesn't fail. What did he say? Let the dead. You know, it looks harsh, right? Is that not? That's harsh. Eh? It's not pretty harsh. That is harsh. There's nothing pretty, but there's nothing pretty about that harshness. That is, it's not pretty harsh. That's fine harshness. No, that is harsh. It says, "Let the dead bury the dead." Okay? You'd have thought,
wow, I will send, my man goes, she will take over the catering. Don't worry about it.
I want you to pay, don't lose track of what I'm saying. Look at verse 61. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. You know, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You are already my Lord and Savior. No doubting about that. But you see, when I was coming here, or before you caught me, there's a people playing PS4 in our house. You know, I just want to tell you, it's not, you know, relationship matters. It's not like I want to, I'm coming back, but I just want to go and just tell them, see you later. You know, Master Jesus, you know, in the future there will be phone. But now there's no phone. I would have called them. But just allow me, let me just quickly go and come back. What did Jesus say? No man. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. No man. Have it. 1, 2, 3, go. Luke 10:62. 1, 2, 3, go. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Is fit to preach. Is fit for the kingdom. So it means that preaching the gospel is the number one priority of the believer. Matthew 28. Matthew didn't summarize Jesus' teaching and says, go into the world and teach all nations and take care of your family. Are we here? That is because taking care of your family is not necessarily a part of the redemptive reality. Like, you don't need to be in the redemptive reality to know to take care of your family. Are we together? So, whilst taking care of your family is good, there's an instruction to what? Preach the what? The gospel. Preach the what? The gospel. Say, I'll preach the gospel at all costs. Are we here? So what did Jesus say? You don't choose. When it comes to Jesus, it's Jesus first. Are we here? When it comes to Jesus, it's Jesus first. Yeah. When it comes to submission to Jesus, to Jesus' authority, it is Jesus first. Why do you suppose we have the four gospels written today? What do we call them? We call them the eyewitness accounts. How did they? Why is it called the eyewitness? Because their eyes saw. Are we together? They wrote what they heard and saw. Praise God. Praise God. For them to have written what they heard and saw, it means they were consistently present when things were said and done. Praise Jesus. So there's such a thing as sitting at the feet and presently and actively doing that. Look at Acts 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been what? Fulfilled. Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David, prophet, spoke concerning Judas, which was guided to them that who took Jesus. Now look at verse 17. 1, 2, 3, go. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Who is the he that was numbered? Judas, right? So look at verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of... Is that a figure of speech? We treated that, right? Right? So Judas betrayed, right? He didn't now, after betrayal, now use the money to buy field. I call it field of iniquity. I'll be field of, what do they call it? Asimiadia, and field of whatever. Field of blood, in verse 19. Right? So it is a figure of speech. We've taught that severally in this series, right? So the reward falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels, what? They what? Gushed out. And it was known unto the dwellers of Jerusalem in so much that this field is called in their proper tongue Al-Sil Dama, and that is to say the field of blood. For it is written in the books of Psalm, right? Book of Psalms. Let his what? Habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, but his bishopric let another take. What does that mean? It means that despite and in spite of what Judas did, right, there was need for more people. You see, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of numbers. Are we here? You know, this year I said we're going to pay attention to what more?
discipleship. The kingdom of God, see, you cannot take away the fact that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of numbers. What do I mean by numbers? There are more souls that are needed for more souls to be won. Let me tell you, even if all of us here, all of us with compressors together, each of us had the ability of E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, Ora Roberts, and Georgie Lake. Only you. What I mean is that everything they experience, you experience, you cannot change the world. Are we here? You cannot reach everybody. So it means that we will always need more people to reach more people. Even the apostles at their times, 12 of them could not reach everybody at their time. Think about how much the number of people on earth has multiplied today. Think about it. Do you think people were this much in Peter's time? Do you even think people were half this much in Peter's time? Do you think so? How many are we in this world right now? How many people are on earth right now? 7 billion people, right? Eh? Over. Yes, I know you know the exact number. Yeah, but let's just show. So when you ask this kind of question, what do? We stay around approximation. Yeah, so you can say above or around or, you understand? So, yeah, above, we need anywhere you want to say. So 7 billion people are that now, right? If you check the world's population 20 years ago, it wasn't 7 billion. Today, a nation has 1 billion. One nation. Are we together? Two nations, right? India, China, 1.3 billion. That's India. In two of them, 1.3. But China is that one. 1.1, you know the number. 1,172,000,000. Right on, census counter. Are we together? Yeah, so think about that. Within the spirit, I heard that in one of those countries they banned giving birth to more than one child. China, right? That was not their problem 200 years ago. Do you understand? So they could not reach the people in their time, all of them. More people have added to those people. More have died, more have come. New people are around. Peter is not anywhere preaching today. I hope you know. He's not among those that went to spirit of prison to go and preach. He's not preaching today. Paul is not preaching. They are resting. Why are they resting? Because they passed the baton to the next generation. Are we together? The baton has been passed. So, the world will keep. So, then, see, there's really no point asking the question, what will happen to those that don't believe? Oga, do you know anybody that doesn't believe? Yes. Go and preach to the person. Do you understand what I say? You know, Pastor, you know, you always talk about how you like people who think. You know, Pastor, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think in a direction. You know, so Pastor, what really happened? You know, Pastor, it's not like it's going to change anything about me. I believed. And Pastor, you've taught us that. Pastor, you've taught us that anybody that believes you won't save, you are forever in God's hand, nobody can pluck you. No, but for Pastor, you know, because there are over 7 billion people on earth today. You want to sound more complex, you know? Paradventure. Paradventure, you know. Pastor, you know, I know you know where I'm going to, but I'm trying to just, you know, ask you so that you will tackle all angles. You know, so peradventure, the trumpet, let's just assume. I know, Pastor, you've taught us that trumpet. You know, you said it's figurative, and you know, it's just the assembly. We know, Pastor, you know, there's resurrection money. We agree. You know, but peradventure, that second coming. No, I see Pastor even told us that second coming. And Pastor, you know, you told us that we will arise and ascend and meet up in the cloud. But what happens to those people
Because, Pastor, I know somebody in my neighborhood now who said you will not. What do you do? Go and, Baba, go and pray. Go and pray and go and preach again. If he rejects what happened, you go back there and preach again. So, use your time. Look at it. Use your time to preach the message and pray for the hearts of those. See, you know, you can see someone who is dogged about rejecting your message and do the work of prayer. Somebody else will preach and the person will be saved. There's somebody who you have preached to today that I'm sure you left them feeling this was a condemn. You just felt like you are condemned. About remaining your sin, I think. But today, they are doing better than you in ministry. There are people like that. There are people who have come into the Christian faith when you have lived 30 years on earth. And what they did in 1 year is more than the number of souls they've won, is more than what you've done all your life. Now, that's what you have storytellers. Before they gave birth to your father's father, your daddy's daddy. Where were you in the 70s? In the 70s, where were you? They are not thought of, even your parents are not thought of coming together. You know, I've been preaching. But there are people who come in. And, so what is important to God? That souls are saved and men get the urgency to be disciples of other disciples. So it means that you will not always be comfortable. Let me tell you, I can assure you, every Saturday morning will not be always comfortable for you. Saturday is just a day where you just wake up and want to just sleep. After a long week of insults, queries, you know, you did your best throughout the week. Your boss still called you on Friday afternoon and said, you, I advise you to resign on Monday. I mean, that's what they do now. They now advise you to drop your resignation letter. What an advice. No, advise you. Saturday. 7 o'clock. It's not now. 7 o'clock alarm rang. Not because you remember to put it the night before, but you've put it a long time ago. Yes. Today's Saturday. Today is the second. It's the third. It's the third Saturday. No. It's not the fourth. It's not the second. It's the fourth. How do we count it? You know. Oh. You now put your phone down. In fact, you turn it on. Put it on airplane mode. Put it under your pillow and sleep. You still have a godly heart. You come by 10 o'clock. Your heart is not as godly as someone that comes by 10 o'clock. Come out, wait till Sunday. This year will not always, coming to church will not always be as comfortable for you. I'm giving you a free, it's for free. You didn't pay me. I'm giving you for free. But there's such a mindset as what? We've left comfort to follow. See, to be readily available in all meetings is dependent on your decision you make. To be readily available to submit to teachings and discipleship is dependent on the decision you make. Now, where am I going to in Acts 1? See Acts 1 here. Now, wherefore of these men which have... Look at 21. Please read carefully, okay? Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism. Now, what were they trying to do? They were trying to fulfill scriptures of the bishopric of Judas to be given to another person. You do get that? Now, they now say that, beginning, who amongst these men? That beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his what? Resurrection. Are we together? So, in trying to get a replacement, before praying, they looked physical. Who are they looking for? They were looking for one who has been sitting. Yeah? Has been sitting at where? The feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. So they said, one must be ordained to be a witness which with us in the resurrection. Now look at verse 23. And they appointed two. Are we together? You see, dear saints, right? There are people we can all be on fire for God. Let me say it that way. Are we here? Do you know we can all be on fire for God? We can all be on fire for God. So, among the people who were on fire for God, so to say, there were two they picked.
Let me now show you the criteria in which they used to pick. So look at when it says 23, and they appointed to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and what? Matthias. And they what? Prayed, Thou Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave for their lot, so they still cast their lot. When it comes to Acts 1, criteria were already met by two people. Then they prayed. Mind you, that season was a default season of prayer already. So if we say these two brothers, Brother Timothy and Brother Silas, are going to pray, are going to pray. Because we are looking for one. You see, the prayer aspect makes it spiritual so that the other person knows, or, you know, it has a way to make the other person know that this activity is a spiritual activity. Right? So you need to see way past the what? Lot casting, and see the spirituality behind it in fulfilling the prophecy. So, in the real sense, they were able to pick based on the commitment of the men they had seen, who were readily available from the baptism of John till the what? Resurrection. And what happened? It says, then they prayed. Then what happened? It says, they cast their lots. And they gave for their lots. Right? And the lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Look at Leviticus 16 quickly. Leviticus 16, 8.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus,
and Leviticus 16. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, right, and offer him for a sin offering. Now hold on. If Aaron had prayed and casted the lot, does it mean that the goat in which the Lord fell off, is God that directed the lot to fall on the goat? Do you understand what I just said? Two goats. What happened to Aaron? Two goats were in front of him. He picked the first lot. He said, this lot is for God. He threw. He picked the second one. This lot is for the what? Is that the scapegoat? He threw. Is it the spirit of God that entered the lot to direct the direction in which he wants it to go into? But eventually, when it comes to, when the lot falls on one and he says it's for the Lord, to what degree has he made it of the Lord? Because he has already apportioned that lot. Are we here? Are we here? He has apportioned that lot to be particular for whatever goat it falls on, and it is for the Lord. Are we together? So, after prayer, you cast the lot. Yeah? Whoever the Lord falls on is equal to whoever, because you started the process with a purpose. Please, are we here? Are we here? You come to disciples, the first, where you start from is you want to make a decision to choose. Right? And you say, okay, to make that decision, at the end of the day, whatever the outcome is, whoever has the lot, whoever has the highest number, whatever that is, yeah, is the one that finally comes into that office. Right? That doesn't discredit the other person. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because if you're not careful, you will get to a conclusion somewhere in your head that will say Matthias was chosen of God, but the other wasn't chosen of God. And if you are not so spiritually sensitive enough, what can that do to the other person who has been there from John's baptism? Discouraged. You see, Aaron was trying to choose the lost goats, but the Lord did not need a goat. Abby? Did the Lord need a goat? But he was trying to choose a goat so eventually, the other one who did not get the lost lost lots, was he still useful? Yes. As what? Scape. Hallelujah. Don't picture Matthias and his partner here. Okay? Yeah? So, in the real sense, yes, so Matthias, the lot fell on Matthias. He was numbered just because the prophecy was to fulfill. So, you know, because of the way the mind works, but it will be very difficult. How many disciples were there? 12. At this time, how many? 11. Beautiful. No matter what happens, one person will do the final decision. What I'm trying to say is, even if five of them have campaign, five people my side, five people your side, that last person will cast the lot. It must fall on one person. That it falls on Matthias doesn't describe the fact that the other one is what? So go back to Acts. Let me just try and close up there. When I look at Acts 1. That, you know, this practice this guy did in Acts 1 is risky. I hope you know. It's risky. Because a lot of people build it, and that's why we say something. You know, you have heard me say this over and over, that we don't build doctrine from the book of Acts, right? Yeah, we don't build doctrine from Acts. We don't build doctrine from Matthew. We build doctrine primarily on the epistles. The other scriptures we have are just extensions to buttress what we are saying. But it means that because they are to buttress, so you'd have heard me say this about a few years ago now. You hear me say that what happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the things that happened, or are the record, or what you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the record of things that happened to Jesus. While in Ephesians, Romans, there are things that happened where? In Jesus. Right? So we pay, our spiritual reality is found in him, so we pay attention to the things that speak about in him. That is, we pay attention to the epistles. So we don't build doctrine. So in Acts, you see them, they baptize, but we don't build doctrine in Acts. Altogether, you see Paul baptized in Acts, but when he now writes in the epistles, he sees that, oh, I thank my God I baptized no other person apart from one. So if you read Acts and build doctrine from Acts, Paul's baptism in Acts, you will most likely be slightly away from doctrine of in Christ reality. So this practice, honestly speaking, I don't know who led them to do this. But this practice, think about it now. Imagine we want someone to ask keyboardists. We now spiritualize it. We now pray first. But let me now see the two of them. I say all of us should pick. You will pick based on your bias. Even if you've never met them before. If somebody just stand and maybe he has broad shoulder, some of you in your mind, you say he's proud. Why is his shoulder just up? That's the way they created. That's the way it was created. That was molded. That's molding. Yeah, he's got. But now, you know, oh, I just like that brother. Some of you have that testimony about some of you. That brother is just so calm, always quiet. Just always goes and sits down wherever. Just always sit down. You know, he doesn't even touch. He doesn't even hurt a fly. He doesn't even come for evangelism. He just. The things we praise in this life, man. It's funny. Yeah. So. Man will always have a bias. Prayer can sharpen or prayer can try to. Prayer cannot alter your bias, but prayer can only supply. How do I say this now? That is why proper prayer is done with proper teaching. Are we together? Proper prayer is done. So when it says that, look where the two people that Lot fell on. The Bible says that it fell on Barsabbas. Are we here? Okay, so it fell on Barsabbas, who was son named Justus, and who? Matthias. And they prayed. And they what? Casted lots. Instructive in itself, yes, we pray through. You know, there are some things that some of you here, for instance, can do. I know some of you can do. And I know some of you can do better than others. And I know that some of you can do, or you've handled situations like that in time past, right? So can I want to make a decision about something, for instance, and pray about it? Yes. Is it possible that before I pray, I have a bias already? I was telling my friend something recently. You know, he reached out to me, called me, and said, "You're saying, say brother, This one, are you happy in this relationship? What prayer were you praying when you met Stephanie? And what prayer did you pray to know she was the one? And because he's my guy, he's my friend, very close friend of mine, just like all of you. I told him, I said, bro, till today I've not prayed about Stephanie. This was last week. till today, I have not prayed about Stephanie. Papita, you're shocked? I don't understand. See, don't get what I'm not saying. I'm not saying because I was already led. No. What I'm saying is I never for once prayed if this is... How will I say it? You know, reveal her to me, or reveal if she's a witch, or reveal if she has any diabolical history, or is she the right person? If you like her, she's the left person, push her to the right. But I said all of that to say... I know the way the mind works. After I gave him all my stories, he said, brother, please, one thing I want you to do for me next year is please pray. Please pray for my decision. You know, a lot of people, you know, really truly, a lot of we guys actually don't want to miss what they've told us it is. You know, don't miss. You don't want to miss God's will. You need to pray. So there's a place of prayer. So anything that made me pray when I met Stephanie, for instance, is not because I wanted to know. If Stephanie did not meet my physical tastes, brother, she will be where she is now. Is it more grace? Isn't that more grace? No, it's just the truth, right? If she didn't meet something that was up, look, you see, we are men. We are edified. See, we are. When I mean we are men, I'm not talking about the male gender. I'm talking about we are humans. And we are, let me tell you, in life, everybody has a bias. Let's leave joke. Even me, I have bias. Even in Bible study, I have bias. There's nobody that doesn't have bias. Everybody has a bias. The question is, how scriptural is your bias? Do you understand? So, you can't be a Christian, leading people in church, and you're attracted to a Muslim. Do you have bias? Yes. Is it scriptural? No. Jesus. So I was trying to explain to him, I said, you know what, like, I didn't need to pray about it, really. Like, there was really nothing to pray about it. And I told him something important. This is where I'm going to. I said, the problem we have in this generation is, let's even assume there's an act of prayer before making it God. Now, is it good to pray when you want to make a decision like that? Yes, it's good to pray. But why should you be praying? Praying in obedience to the instruction of men not to pray and pray always. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let any decision you want to make find you praying already. So, if you are one who is given to prayer, you don't need to deliberately dedicate time for certain decisions. Take note, certain decisions. I know what I told him. I said, a lot of us, the problem we have is we grow deep in our relationship with our opposite sex before we start saying we want to pray if this is the will. Do you know what I just said? You've met her parents. They started calling you my son. You took ever wine to their house. You took ever wine there. You took carton of juice there. They say, my son, my son, my son. They started calling you my son. You now want to start praying. They will take you to your altar. Do you understand? Now, it wasn't why they were about to cast the lot. Right? Or why they were... Ramasha, brother, Ramasha, do you understand? Like I said, they were already in the praying mood. They were asked to tarry till the what? Day of Pentecost. Do you understand? So what we want to do is, we've seen the lady. We've seen other ladies. We already have our lot. Ishaba. You want to Shaba? So it's already at that, you've already known everything. Let me tell you, and I told him something. I said, let me assure you, if you fall in love with this girl, you will pray her as your answer. You cannot change it. See, not too many people have the mind to fight their biases or to fight. Let me say this way: not so many people have the mind to fight their minds. Do you understand? So you already have someone you've already told that you already say, "I see you, I see children, I see me behind." You've had all sorts and manners of revelation. Yeah. Pastor, is this God's will? And that's why you find Christians who write, what were you doing that you had, to the point that you had two names of two people you were attracted to make decisions from? What were you really doing? Jesus, what were you doing to the point that, so look at it though. If they now ask, when do you know two of them? You say 10 years ago. When were you getting close? 5 years ago. So you're trying to cast lots. You're trying to push where, which one, double times. Jesus, so I see some pastors, their names. Let me see. You know, sometimes they say they don't criticize what you don't understand. Maybe I don't understand it though. But I don't understand why, as a pastor, I should be discipling somebody who will give me two names. Pastor, you know, this is Brother Dekunle. And this is Brother what? I'm good. This is Brother Dekunle. I'm Brother good. You know. And that is why, once you see people like that, you know, you should learn from this also. There are some decisions people will bring to you as a leader. And you say, and the best way to be godly is follow your heart. That's the best way for you to be godly. Just tell them to follow their heart. Because they have, nobody likes two men or two women equally. It is that there are two women and you are trying to, if they allow you, marry two of them. I'm telling you. You are trying to create one woman with those two features. This one has good heart. This one has good physique, but doesn't have heart. This one has heart. He doesn't have physique. You are trying to merge. This one, and that's a lot of times, you know, we have all of those lists. This one takes my list, This one is godly, but it's not tall. Handsome, no money. And you know, truly, really, where the confusion is you want your children to be fine, but you don't want to suffer. Yeah, you want to have fine. You want to have baby Jaden. You want to have the Jadens. That is why, you know, I say something. A lot of our ladies who say they're looking for Christian men, they're looking for. A lot of our ladies, let me tell you, especially in church, a lot of our ladies in church are looking for a daddy Adeboye with a touch of whiskey. I'm telling you. Because you saw that this person is a man of God. You saw it was spirit-filled. But you still want him to tolerate some of the fleshly things once in a while. But you know, we're all growing. Not too many ladies like full-fledged Pastor Adeboye. I can tell you. And that's what pushes our men to have that touch. Want to serve in the choir and serve on the streets. Two ministries. Do you understand? So there's that confusion that goes through the place of your heart. I'm done teaching, yeah? So there's that confusion that goes through the place of your heart in making certain decisions. When it comes to following God, yeah, you should always make sure that your bias is church first, God first. You know, when it comes to picking a job, you can have all of those stuff, right? Look at it. You applied. Please, let us analyze this matter. You applied for two jobs, same time. You got the two jobs, same time. You saw the offers, same time. Then you now decide to pray. that's why people want to call God wicked. How? If God asks you to take the lesser offer. So now that's the voice on the pit of hell. Do you understand? So in the real sense, what should that? Where should prayer have come in that? Why is getting? Why is applying for the job? Why is getting the job? But throughout. So what is God's decision for you when you now get the two offers? They tell you work on Wednesdays 2 to 10. Eh? 2 to 10. If it was last year, you'd have accepted it. I can be working and just put here. I'll be thanking me on the group chat while you're working for Mammon. So, you see the two jobs. One will not allow you make Wednesdays. One will not allow you come on Sunday. One says you must work Sunday, but you'll be off on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'll be off on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The other one allows you come, and you say, but because the offer is different, right? You now pick. You see, if we can listen to God's word enough, most of what you are looking for as leading of the Spirit is already found there. What is God's will? You know, God doesn't need to lead you to come to church. What is God's will when your local church is meeting? That you are there now. Not just there to be around, but there following rigorously. So, no, people pray if God wants them to go to church next Sunday. Lord, I commit next Sunday. God, what would you have me do next Sunday? Should I go or should I not go? Or you have two churches. Go to God's Palace or God's Place. God's Palace or God's Place. Are we here this morning? Yeah. So now, let's take it from the beginning again, right? So, going into the world and what? Make disciples. Now, we've taught in this series. Now, first of all, a disciple is one who will sit at the feet. Give me another one. Disciple is one who will what? Who will submit to instruction, right? Disciple is one who will render what? Service. Disciple is one who will what? Give himself to the ministry of, right? We're saying the same thing, okay? Yeah. Disciple is one who will what? Give priority to the things of God. Disciple is one who will what? Leave all to follow him. Yeah? Are we here? What does leaving all mean? Not abandoning, but prioritizing. Another one. Disciple is one who what? Who's what? Who walk disciples' way, right? Who what? Who is dogged, okay? A disciple is one who is what? Giving to what? Learning, again. Sitting at the feet, right? Beautiful, yeah? So that's what I'm actually going to. So 2 Timothy 2:2. Says, and the things which you've heard of me, commit them to what? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's following the path of the discipler to be a discipler to other disciples. Are we together? So this year, I want you to make up your mind to follow Jesus actively. Are we here? Are we here? I want you to make up your mind to follow Jesus. I want you to make up your mind to serve Jesus actively, not passively. Not passively. You know, you can actively follow Jesus and passively follow Jesus. What does actively mean? You know when all the meetings we have this year are. When it's in Christ, you know it. When it's believers meeting, you know it. When it's, yeah, and you are not just knowing it, but you are knowing it because you are going to be there. Are we together? Are we together? That is why what we do as a church is we lay down the template or the schedule of what we want to have throughout the year. Why? Because we want you to plan your year around that. See, God will not plan his schedule and the plan of local church around your year. Are you here? You would have to plan your year around your local assembly.